I open to welcome all of you present. I noted that besides honorable members, we have the board, the chair, and the executives of the board of the SABC, led by the CEO, as well as just to note also that we do have some apologies which we must place in record. Firstly, from honorable members, Honorable Van Damme and Honorable Madisha would have turned us apologies. Honorable McKenzie turned us, he would have tendered an apology to join us later. We also note the minister, in another program with the president, as well as the deputy minister on the doctor's appointment. But today's session in the main is about the SABC, this is the committee on all the matters that we have listed, starting from the turnaround strategy, the status report on the implementation of recommendations emanating from the protector report, the Auditor General report, as well as the SABC's own internal forensic report, and the ad hoc committee recommendations that we'll put forward. That's going to be our main item. Honorable members, I also take it that you have received the documentation for the meeting, which also makes it easy for us to engage. The approach we'll take is that we'll have the presentation, I think, open to the chair of the board, Mr. Tatini. Please, we'll give you about 40 minutes to present, because I take it that members would have gone through documentation received. We would want to create more space to have an engagement at the committee, so that by the time we finish the meeting, we have a sense of what you say to South Africans out there in terms of how far we are moving forward in turning the SABC around. So in the main, that's what we'll look at. I do see that at least even those that attended the memorial service are all back now, because it's also important to acknowledge that we come from a tragic weekend where we lost a deputy minister, Deputy Minister Lapeni Sengwe, and therefore others would have started so rest in peace. So with those opening remarks, and I'm sure from the board side, are you ready? Ready? Okay. So we'll hand over to the chair. We'll just use the opportunity of presenting to also acknowledge the people who've brought along. I know the delegations can be big, but let's just try and confine to those that are key, especially in responding to the issues that we'll deal with. So as you deal with your overview. Thank you. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, SABC Board, DOC officials, and people from the media, receive our greetings. And let me start by introducing myself. I'm Bongo Musa Makasini, I'm the Chairperson of the Board. Next to me is the Group CEO. Behind me, I've got three Board members, Professor Cooper, Mr. Muhuba, and Ms. Lucien. Those are non-executive board members that are with us today. We had wanted to bring more females, but most of our females have got other engagements. That's why they're not here. On the side of the execs, the acting, the chief financial officer is on leave. So that's why you would see that maybe the delegation is dominated by a male. And then we have the group exec HR, and then a gentleman standing in for the CFO. So that's the delegation we have. We have a very diverse team, to be honest. When you look at our executives, we are meeting and exceeding our BE and employment equity targets. So that I just wanted to highlight for the honourable members to get a sense. What we're going to cover today, we're going to give you high-level understanding of the mandate of the ACPC. And it's important for me to go back there because a lot of the decisions that we take are informed by what is our mandate. There are certain things that people may expect us to do, but that we won't do because they may compromise our ability to fulfill our mandate. We'll also talk to you at a high level about our turnaround plan. And when we get to the turnaround plan, I do want to make it clear to the honourable members that the turnaround plan is basically the heart of the business of the SABC. Therefore, we'll keep it at a high level. We won't go into details of our strategy. The reason for that, it's commercially sensitive. Once our competitors get to know what we're planning to do, because they are more flexible than us, they may implement those plans tomorrow. So as a result of that, I would want honourable members to understand our constraints that we have to present this information within. Then we'll take you through the preconditions, the auditorial interference report, and also we'll cover various reports that you may have seen or heard about. Maybe to start with the mandate, and I want to really go slow on this one. SABC is the only national broadcaster. You've got millions of South Africans, more than 30 million of South Africans that only depend on SABC. Without an SABC, the majority of our people will not have access to information, to educational information and entertainment programs. So as a result, we have to make sure that we remain firm and true to fulfilling our mandate, which is about really creating a platform where we can showcase attitudes, opinion, ideas and values of our people. We are a custodian of the cultural heritage, which means all cultures must see themselves being represented and covered in a way, in the manner in which SABC does things. We cover 14 official languages, which means you may see us having 19 radio stations and say, oh, there's too many radio stations, why can't they sell that one and that one? You've got to bear in mind that there's 14 languages that we have to cover. So it may not be an easy exercise just to get rid of certain things because we have to make sure that those 14 official languages are covered. The plurality of views and variety of news, all of those things are core to what SABC is about and what we are expected to do. In the context of that, I also want to make it understood that this current board and the executive that we have are not responsible for maladministration, corruption, and bad things that happen at SABC. These are South Africans who've raised their hands and offered their skills and expertise to come here. So we've got to accept that these people have sacrificed a lot to come and help. And they're doing a good job. The last time when we spoke to you, we've put together, with the help of the executive that we've been able to attract, a very comprehensive turnaround strategy that has kept this organization going for almost 2 years. So I thought I should start there so that we understand the mandate and the magnitude of that mandate, so that when we get into the details and some of the decisions that we've taken, that honorable members have a sense of why we've done things in a particular way. Let me take you through the life journey of our turnaround plan. In the second quarter of 2018-2019, the executive leadership team developed a roadmap and a turnaround strategy. It is the responsibility of the executive team of the SABC to put a turnaround strategy. Then the board has a responsibility to approve that strategy, but it comes from the executive team and then it gets presented to the board. It was then approved by the board on the third quarter of 2018-2019. That roadmap was approved by the board. As soon as it was approved by the board, because from a protocol perspective or how things are done, we will not present things here that have not been approved by the board. So once the board approved on the third quarter of 2018, round about September, we then presented that turnaround and roadmap strategy to the portfolio committee. And also we engaged with the minister at the time on that turnaround strategy. So that context is very important to understand where we're coming from within this journey. In the fourth quarter of 2018-2019, we then submitted a funding request to the DOC and National Treasury. And what then happened is SABC and the GTEC team started working together to refine the strategy that has already been approved. The strategy was developed, approved by the board, presented to the portfolio committee, but then there was a need for us to refine the strategy. So the services of GTEC, with the help of the Department of Communications, were then requested to assist us to bolster that turnaround strategy. That work started in the fourth quarter of 2018-2019. In the first quarter of 2019-2020, we then received preconditions, about 11 preconditions, that were coming from National Treasury in the light of the request for funding that we had put forth. And I want to place it on record that those 11 conditions were all met. In fact, last week Friday, we had a meeting with GTEC, which is a team that was assisting to boost our strategy, with the Department of Communication officials and the acting DG and the team were there. In that meeting, it was all agreed and confirmed that SABC has met all the preconditions. And therefore, the financial assistance that was requested by SABC on the fourth quarter of 2018-2019 will be released. The only condition which I want to expand on is condition number six that talks about the disposal of assets. And the disposal of assets, we will have properties that has been taken care of. We've submitted a comprehensive strategy around how we're going to deal with our property portfolio. There are those that maybe needs to be developed, those that needs to be sold. You have to take an informed position, and we've gotten experts to assist us how we deal with property portfolio. But the complexity, and this is where the board has requested more time, comes to the TV channels and the radio stations that we have. Understanding the mandate of the SABC and how big the mandate is. For an example, we have to broadcast in 14 official languages. It is not possible, and it would be reckless and irresponsible for a board to just wake up tomorrow and say we're going to sell the radio station X, Y, and Z without doing an analysis to understand that if you get rid of radio station X, how is it going to affect your ability to meet your mandate? It may not be performing well financially as we stand, but it's helping us to achieve and fulfill our mandate. Therefore, we may not sell it though it's not making money. That needs to be understood because it's informed by the mandate of the SABC. Therefore, the board has requested more time to analyze and evaluate these assets so that whenever we get to a point where we are comfortable that if we move this, how is it going to affect or impact on our ability to meet our mandate? That's one. But secondly, the turnaround strategy that we've put together has got a number of ideas how to bolster and to improve our revenue. There may be channels that are not performing today, but we have a plan to turn them around. So you can't, just because of where you are today, and just start selling things and privatizing things irresponsibly. We've got to be given time to implement our turnaround strategy, be able to turn around these assets, because some of them may not be performing today, but once we have the financial injection that we need, for an example, we haven't been able to advertise our platforms because we have to cut on advertising budget, for an example. If we were to advertise our assets, maybe more people will place their ads with us. So we've got to understand why that particular condition number six, has not been met. It's because we need time. We need to do a thorough job. There's been instances in the SABC where certain deals were made before our time without people understanding the value of their assets. Now, going into a negotiation, even if you're selling your house, you've got to get your house evaluated so that you know what price to ask. So to expect us to just irresponsibly and recklessly provide a list or start engaging in selling things without understanding how it's going to impact on the mandate of the SABC will be irresponsible. And as a result, we will not do that. Let me proceed and cover items around when we get to the various reports that I've touched on. You may have seen SABC making headlines, a lot of negativity in the media about people complaining about this and that. I want to put it into proper context that there's been a lot of attack to the very same executives that we've gone and attracted to come assist us. They are being attacked and their reputation being tarnished because they are driving this renewal and rehabilitation. They are holding people to account based on what has happened in the past. This parliament sent an ad hoc committee to go look and investigate what had gone wrong at the SABC. And the recommendations coming out of that ad hoc committee needed to be implemented. Prior to that, there was in 2014 a report investigation done by the public protector, which also highlighted a number of irregularities, a number of questionable deals, a number of things that needed to be investigated. I'm just giving you context of what is informing the activities and some of the negativity that you may be seeing. So it was the public protector report in 2014, which highlighted a number of things that needed to be corrected, investigated. Subsequent to that, it was the ad hoc, parliamentary ad hoc committee, which also came in to investigate what had gone wrong at the SABC. In addition to that, we then also brought in SIU. SIU was brought in, invited by the SABC, to come investigate a lot of things that surfaced under the public protector's report. And that work that was done by the SIU also resulted to a number of SABC people being implicated, certain number of deals being sort of also questioned in terms of how they were awarded, irregularities around some of these deals. That's the third thing that is informing what we do. The fourth thing is what I would call our own internal forensic investigation. The forensic team has done investigation and produced over 180 forensic reports in one financial year. Just to give you the extent of the rot at the SABC, the head of internal forensic, Mr. Zigote, was almost killed a few months ago because of the work that he's driving. People have lost their lives because of the cleanup that we are doing. So when you look at the headlines, CEO, myself, or any of the executives being accused of bullying, being accused of purging people, the truth of the matter is this parliament expects us to implement the remedial action by the public protector. You're expecting us to implement the recommendations coming out of the other committee. You're expecting us to implement the SIU report or recommendation. You're expecting us to implement and hold people accountable that are being implicated as a result of our own internal forensic. You're also expecting us to clean our audit findings. Auditor General comes in and highlights things that are wrong in our supply chain, in our commercial entity, commercial enterprise. And this parliament, as part of your oversight, you're expecting this board and these executives to implement those things. Of course, as we drive this renewal and rehabilitation, some people will fight back. That's why they try to assassinate Mr. Zigote, for example. That's why most of us are under threat. Our lives are at risk because of the cleanup that we are driving at the APDC. So we need the support of this committee to understand that when you see negative headlines, people are fighting back. And in them fighting back, then they are attacking and tarnishing the reputation of the very same executives that we've appointed. The very same board that you, honorable members, appointed and trusted with the renewal and the rehabilitation. So that context is very important. But I do want to assure you, honorable members and South Africans, that there is no amount of intimidation, pushback, that will stop us from doing what is responsible and what is at the best interest of the SABC. There are instances where issues of labor issues get escalated to the board, which is wrong. There are instances where some internal stakeholders may be working with people who are either suspended, dismissed, or under investigation. All of these people then put a very comprehensive fight there, and I don't want you to worry when you see these deadlines. I mean these headlines, negative headlines, because everything we are doing it according to our policies, we are following the processes, and we're making sure that we're doing it in the most responsible manner. But you cannot expect somebody who's benefited unfairly to be happy when we're doing the cleanup. It's impossible. And they won't talk highly of the people who are in the forefront of driving that cleanup. I do want you to appreciate that people's lives are at risk. We're doing this for South Africans. We're doing this for this parliament. And we need your support. We need your understanding as we drive the work that we are driving. We are committed and will continue to do what is right. You can already see, even before the financial injection can be released, SAPC has been able to save over R1 billion. We've been able to cut our losses by 33%. We've been able to meet our mandate under difficult circumstances. So they are really working hard. We are turning around the SAPC. That's the message I want you to have, that we are turning around that place. We just need your support, your understanding. When you see these deadlines, these headlines, don't panic. everything is under control. It's just that the rehabilitation and the renewal process is in full force, and we are driving consequence management. That's the right thing to do, and that's what we'll continue to do. I want to hand over to the CEO to just give you the high flavor of our turnaround, and he won't go into details, colleagues, because it's commercially sensitive. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. What I will do is just to take you briefly through the journey that we undertook with GTEC as well as DOC. You may recall that GTEC was roped in order for us to enhance and boost the strategy that we have. What you have there is a document that highlights the key anchors of the strategy, focusing on two key things. One, we want to make sure we continue accelerating revenue growth. And secondly, we want to ensure that we continue embarking on the cost-cutting measures throughout the organization. One of the things we've done in this updated and revised strategy is we now have about four key pillars. The first one is governance and financial sustainability. These now have been combined to make them a bit more pointed. The second one is to look towards a robust human capital model that is going to help SAPC going forward. The third point is still there is content and platforms. We have the 19 radio stations as well as the 5 TV channels that will continue to drive our public mandate of entertaining, informing, as well as educating South Africans. And the last bit there is transmission and digital migration. So these would now form the key pillars for the strategy going forward. What we've also done in terms of the time frames, we've segmented this into different periods. You have what we're going to do immediate, it means from now until the next 3 months. And then you also have the short term, which talks to 3 months up until 18 months. And medium term looks at 18 months to 36 months. I'll just briefly focus on these four key pillars. You may recall that under the governance and financial sustainability pillar, we would want to continue strengthening decision making. And this is quite key because it links to what the chairperson was talking to. We inherited an organization that experienced systematic collapse of processes, both financially as well as governance, and we're duty bound to ensure that we instill, whether you're looking at the public protector's recommendations or the ad hoc committee, the internal investigations that we've done, and only this past fiscal, we're actually confronted with about 186 cases. And those 86 cases may implicate individuals, not just one, but it could be a group of people. So these are some of the things that we're driving. But very importantly, we're now instilling a solid governance framework that will ensure that we future-proof from any instances of malfeasance and corruption. The second point there is to continue generating revenue. We want to monetize different initiatives that we have. We've explained previously in this forum that the SABC, in terms of our revenue generation model, 84% of our revenue comes from advertising, 15% from TV licenses, and then we get a percentage from government that focuses on educational programs as well as on Channel Africa. So that pillar, in terms of financial sustainability, will continue driving revenue growth. We'll ensure that we cut costs as well as we do that, and inherently in there is the need to instill proper, a solid governance framework within the SABC. The human capital component, Ndata Tekiso, our HR executive, is going to talk briefly to the operation model because we've already done the skills audit, which will be finalized soon, and with that, it then looks at the future structure of the SABC. Content and platforms, we want to ensure that we drive audience growth. We ensure that we continue driving the market share, and we know that this would actually help us with significant growth in the areas of revenue. And the last part there, and we've spoken at length about this, the second biggest cost driver for the SABC is the cost of signal distribution as well as transmission. That accounts to about $1.1 billion every year. And there are plans to see how can we have a hybrid model between DTT as well as DTH. And our acting COO is going to talk to those points. So, honorable members, these are the four pillars of the revised strategy that we've worked with GTEC, and it has been approved by the board. So this is the strategy that is going to guide the SABC going forward. Owing to the confidentiality and commercial sensitive information, what I would want to just highlight there is the fact that under governance, we're now busy ensuring that we're filling all the vacant positions, particularly the critical ones. We have close to about 227 acting positions in a staff complement of just over 5,500. So we're going to drive the need to ensure we capacitate the organization properly. We are addressing also the audit findings, ensuring also that we operationalize this turnaround plan to ensure that there's growth within the organization. One of the things that we've also looked into is to leverage the asset portfolio. We've looked from a property point of view at all of the properties in different parts of the country that we're not using, whether it be at Sea Point in Mpumalanga as well as Limpopo. We're looking at all of those properties, and there is a strategy to ensure that we dispose of those that are not in line with the future direction of the organization. The chairperson has also spoken to the media assets. We're going to do a proper evaluation of all the radio stations as well as the TV stations. Very importantly, the decisions that will guide the identification and potential disposal would have to bear in mind the considerations on the public mandate, because a station, for example, like XKFM that we have in the Northern Cape, we're spending, from an expenditure point of view, it costs us just over 35 million, but revenue-wise, we get less than 3 million. Now, commercially, people may think it's not viable, but in terms of the public mandate to service the crew and the queer community, that is quite critical. So those are some of the considerations that we'd look into. Then what I would want to do now is to ask our acting COO just to take us through the remaining slides before the executive for HR explains the HR model to us.
Good morning, honorable members. Just under the governance and financial sustainability, there are two key areas that the SABC is going to focus on, which is commercial enterprises, which is our advertising, as well as TV license, the collection of TV license fees, because those are the major sources of revenue for the SABC. With commercial enterprises, as we have alluded earlier, I am not going to go into greater detail about each and every plan that we have. However, at the crux of our turnaround plans to improve and make sure that advertising revenue is increased, we're going to focus solely on our inventory. Inventory not only on our TV channels, but as well as our radio station. So what we are looking at here in terms of making sure that we get enough advertising revenue is to start selling our advertising space in a different manner, which means we don't do things as usual the same way we would have sold advertising space in the past. We are looking at selling to advertisers who also have smaller clients that we have not been able to reach out to. For TV license collections, what is at the heart of our plans is really just to make sure that we have plans that can influence the payment of licenses. Currently, we're looking at only 2.2 million accounts out of 9.6 million accounts on our database that are fully paid, and just about 500,000 of those
are part payers. These are people who would pay a monthly installment. However, what we have decided to do is that we're going to implement plans that will make sure that people find it a lot easier to pay TV licenses, but not only for their payments, but then they would also be able to engage with us to resolve their account queries. So majority of our plans are really focused on the customer themselves, what it is that they need, how it would make their lives a lot more easier. But we must also bear in mind that the collection of license fees goes together with the content that we put on our platforms. So it's very key. So whilst you are influencing people to pay their TV licenses or to make it easier for them to pay, you need content that also speaks to them so that that influence of them believing in what they are paying for. So those two, they go hand in hand. The other initiatives that the SABC will also focus on whilst we're increasing our revenues, which is on advertising and licensing collection, we also need to maintain a culture of controlling our spending. So our costs will have to be kept at a bare minimum. And I think it goes without saying that we are probably where we are today because we had no control cash management. So that is what our group finances will be focusing on, is to make sure that we only spend what we should and what we can afford and nothing beyond that, which also goes hand in hand with our audit, internal audit, forensic audit, who then check all the tenders that have been processed by the SABC to make sure that they follow the right process and that the costs that are incurred are actually what the SABC is supposed to incur. Most of the plans that we have put forward, which have been forwarded to DOC, the SABC has started doing the groundwork. So we have investigated quite a number of these plans that we want to implement going forward. And some of them also relate to policy and regulatory changes. The SABC has been liaising with ICASA as well as the DOC to make sure that we enhance our policies and our regulations which govern the SABC to make it a lot more easier and feasible for the SABC to generate advertising revenue. And then there are also other aspects in the regulations that affect the collection of TV licenses where we are saying there have been a lot of movement technologically, and in terms of our legislation, the legislation only allows us to collect license fees from people who have your traditional television set. And some of those policy and regulatory matters that have been brought forward to the governance structures also have to do with the mass carry regulations. And like I said earlier on, I'm not going to go into every little detail. However, what we are saying under this pillar is that we need legislation that's enabling. It enables the SABC not only to compete with other broadcasters out there, but it also makes it easier for us to deliver on all our mandates, obviously at minimum cost. I'm going to hand over to HR.
Thank you, Sylvia. Good morning, Chairman, honourable members, and colleagues. For the SABC to actualize its turnaround strategy, one of the key pillars would be for us to focus on our human capital agenda. I'm going to talk to three issues that are critical for us to realize the turnaround strategy. The first one being the fact that we have to look at our organizational structure. The second one being for us to conclude on the skills audit that we have already begun. And the final one being a successful implementation of our performance management processes and systems. The first objective focuses mainly on us developing a holistic operating model for the SABC overall. But what it means is that each and every business area has to conclude on its operating model. Let me hasten to add the fact that all divisions had begun as early as last year looking at their operating models and were basically halfway, you know, through the process. We had also last year begun looking at our organizational structure, and we also in that regard have gone some distance in terms of looking at our structure. And in the process of us looking at the skills audit, which we began late last year, early this year, we have also looked at our job profiles, and I must indicate that it's been quite an eye-opener to find the state of our job profiles in the SABC. And it has rendered the skills audit process an enormous, albeit not insurmountable task. We're getting there. But in terms of the key actions surrounding this objective, first of all, it's very important for the SABC to deploy a vision for a modern, a digital, and multi-channel SABC. And we're mindful of the fact that we're on the throes of the fourth industrial revolution, and we realize that for the SABC to take advantage of this opportunity, we have to deploy, you know, a relevant vision in that regard. And as I've indicated, we are looking at our operating model, and we are basically finalizing, you know, with a view to, you know, taking advantage of those opportunities that are to be presented by the fourth industrial revolution. And in the process of doing so, we then will have to obtain through our internal structures approval for our fit-for-purpose organizational structure. And then, that being the case, we'll have to determine, you know, our FTE, full-time employee requirement. Then we'll have to go through a process of making sure that we populate the respective organizational structures, having looked at the structure. But quite importantly, we have to make sure that we engage with organized labor in terms of all our attempts at the population of the structure. It's a very, very key component, you know, for the business. Then we'll have to go through the necessary approval processes in as far as A, the operating model, B, organizational structure, and three, the population of the respective structures. But then we have to make sure that we grade all the positions to make sure that, you know, the respective job prices can be allocated vis-a-vis each and every job that has been evaluated. But then I want to turn quickly to what's going to mean, you know, as we embark upon the skills audit process. As I said earlier, we had begun the skills audit process. We've gone through a process of collating all information from the respective staff members, starting last year in June, where we submitted to the department the information the skills audit information pertaining to our senior manager. And then we began the process of collecting information from all our employees. And out of 3,083 employees of the SABC, and this is full-time employees and not freelancers, we were able to receive information from 2,870 employees. And this is information pertaining to their CVs, experiences, qualifications, and what have you. This essentially means that we received information from 93% of the organization. So we are ready to proceed in terms of the assessment of the skills that the SABC has currently, but that we are going to get assistance from an external external service provider in terms of the assessment processes. But before we embark on the assessment, it is our undertaking to make sure that we involve organized labor in terms of the approach we're going to follow in as far as the field audit process is concerned. Once we've done that, then we're in a position to assess what the gap is between where we want to be as a SABC vis-a-vis where we are currently in as far as the skills of our employees are concerned. And then from there, we'll be able to develop plans in terms of how we're going to bridge the gap between where we are and where we want to get to in terms of impacting on a number of training and development interventions for all our employees. And finally, one of the bugbears of the SABC, and it's been like this for the last 3-4 years or so, is our attempt at the implementation of a performance management system. And so we've been engaging with organized labor in terms of implementation. The two unions, majority unions, which is the MAU and Communication Workers Union, have both declared disputes around the implementation by the SABC of performance management. The MAU has actually referred their dispute to the CCMA. We are still awaiting, the notification from the CCMA in terms of how we're going to resolve the dispute. Communication Workers Union have declared a dispute, but they have not referred to the CCMA. So we've been engaging all along in our attempts to convince each other around the implementation. At the core of the dispute is the fact that organized labor are saying that the previous administration promised them that implementation of performance management would be conditional upon performance incentives being budgeted for. Our contention as management is quite simply that performance management is self-funding. The organization first makes money and then we can deal with issues of incentives. And so, as I say, Chairperson, we are busy with the process of engagement with organized labor, but we are hopeful that in the not too distant future, we'll be able to implement performance management. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just quickly go through the content and platforms pillar. And as I mentioned earlier on, our platforms on television as well as on radio. So the discussions that we are having is that in order for us to start buying content, we first need to understand our audiences. The SABC as a whole, over the past 3 to 4 years, we've drifted away somewhat from our audiences. So we're going to keep the audiences at the heart before we even consider procuring content, which is we need information on our audience, what it is that they are consuming, and the market trends as well. This will then ensure that when we do procure content, we have considered exactly what the audience would be interested in on radio as well as on TV. One of the challenges that we have been experiencing over time as well is the manner in which we procure our content. I think we all would want to believe that the SABC, procuring content for the SABC, is not necessarily the same as how procurement will be done in other SOEs where you're just talking about goods and services. So we need to also involve National Treasury in assisting us to find the best possible methods in terms of the PFMA as well as the triple PFA to be able to procure our content on an ongoing basis. We are also looking at monetizing our local content, and this will involve a process of repackaging the content as it is that we have. Currently, not all our content is digitized, so that is another process that the SABC has to embark on to make sure that the local content that we have is digitized and it can be sold on several platforms. And lastly, just under transmission and digital migration, earlier on we mentioned that this is the future the SABC is supposed to be following on. What we are busy with is that we are going to investigate, especially in order for us to reduce our transmitter costs, we need to make sure that we do validations and verifications of areas and platforms where we can make sure that the content is disseminated at a far cheaper cost than what the SABC is incurring right now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just to conclude on our side, we'll take questions on the rest of the report because they were part of the pack that was sent, so we'll take questions on those reports. But it's important for us to also mention that in the last financial year, SABC got a disclaimer from an audit opinion. We've been able to move from a disclaimer to a qualifier. That just shows, and it's the evidence of the hard work that the team has done under very trying and difficult circumstances. Over to you, Chair.
Yeah, in the 5 minutes you have, I thought you'd highlight those reports just to complete your presentation. Yeah.
Do that, Chairperson. We'll go to the editorial interference report. We've attached this. This was aimed at looking at all of the editorial interference that took place in the past couple of years. It was headed by Ndate Joel Solo. This helped us to look into the newsroom and all of the collapses in systems and editorial process that took place. We shared this report with the committee. It was presented to the board, and I do know that it elicited a lot of different responses from different quarters. But what is important is that it did capture the essence of editorial interference that took place with the previous management. The other report that I'd like to briefly share, you'll see that we've attached progress against AG findings in the past fiscal. We've been able to finalize 90% of the findings from the AG, and the ones that are outstanding are actually being dealt with internally. Then you have the internal and the forensic findings, and I do need to mention that some of these reports, they date back to 2012. Most of the cases were either not attended to, deliberately shifted aside, and we have been going back, you can see there from 2012 right until where we are and what we've been able to do in dealing with all of these cases. And most importantly, not just holding the people accountable, but looking into the recoveries of the monies that were wasted at the time. The other report, Chairperson, is the one on the ad hoc committee. It does document in detail what we've been able to do, and looking at all of the cases that we highlighted and the remedial actions that we have been able to put in place. I think, Chairperson, these reports do document, I mean, if you look from 2012 to date, we had about 5.2 billion worth of irregular expenditure, and largely these were caused by payments without contracts, different deviations, just blatant disregard for the SCM processes. We have looked into all of these cases, and at the end of June, we have written to Treasury applying for condonation of about 2.7 billion, which is really focusing on the cases that were dealt with. Every single month, we write a report to SCOPA detailing on the progress that we're making on all of these irregular expenditure incidents. So that's it from the on the report, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
That's the decision from the board. Would now allow honourable members to engage with the report. As I said, we'd allocate more time that we do our oversight as expected. I will now take hands from honourable members who would want to speak on the matter. Honourable Gumbu, would you want followed by Honorable Fagu, Honorable Majozi, Honorable Gwena, Honorable Mackenzie, Honorable Mulala, and Honorable Kubeka. In that order. And then start from the group.
Thank you, Chair. I heard the chairperson of the board talking about the meeting. Was it on Friday? The meeting on Friday about the precondition of the preconditions and the funds to be released. I just want to check, because this is a burning issue. I just want to check as to whether, as to when. Just want to get an indication as to when are the funds going to be released. The question of the debt, secondly, when one was coming this side this morning, one was listening to one of the radio stations. I understand there were some interviews yesterday conducted by SABC on the issue of the coverage of the Rugby World Cup match. And one person was interviewed, I think it's a spokesperson of the SABC or not, I'm not sure, I'm not quite certain about that. But the indication out of that interview from the side of the SABC was that there's not going to be the coverage of that particular match. So I just want to find out as to how true is it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps one must welcome the presentation from the board of the SABC and the executive. Chairperson, as you would know, that we are coming from a history where SABC has been in bad books, both in Parliament and in our community out there. But after listening to your presentation, one can see light down there. There is hope, perhaps, in the leadership that you are providing, that at least there can be changes in the SABC. Last week, we received a presentation from the Special Investigation Unit, and I think you mentioned that today, even the Haskell Committee, the recommendations that were made about some members of the SABC who were dismissed, and one who should appreciate to hear today that about 90% of those members were implicated in wrongdoing, were dismissed. And perhaps if you can just give me an indication of the remaining recommendations that were made. And if you can just give us not too much detail, what is happening, where are we, because what we want is this committee to give a word out there to make sure that people, whoever or who are still thinking of doing wrong in that entity, they must be held into account. But also, yes, I think I fully agree with the CEO when he said that in terms of the turnaround strategy, we don't have to divulge that information here. I think it's important that we give yourself space and the board to come up with this turnaround strategy. But perhaps at a later stage, we would want to have time frames when are you going to achieve this and that and that. So I want to support the issue that you don't share the content of the turnaround strategy. On the issue of SABC requesting funds from National Treasurer, I hear that you have mentioned the precondition number 6, and you are saying that this condition was not met, and the chairperson has alluded to say that they are still, as the board and the executive, trying to evaluate assets that are there. What I want to understand is, did Treasurer agree to that in the meeting that you had to say that we agree that we can give you a bailout, maybe in trenches or everything that you have requested for? That is what I want to understand, actually.
Also, I think I like the turnaround plan that was presented by Sylvia, especially on number 3, the content and platforms. I think it's important that as SABC, for you to be able to generate revenue, you know your audience, so that whatever you are trying or in your turnaround strategy, you are able to attract that audience, so that people, you motivate people to be able to pay TV licenses. But the chairperson, there's a rumor out there on the issue that as SABC you want to increase TV licenses. Perhaps if you can take that. If you can take us into confidence to that, because I would want to motivate to say that you need to win over your audience that you are talking about before you would try to increase TV licenses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I think maybe firstly we must appreciate the presentation that we have received from the SABC. It has given us a light of what is happening, and for them to be blunt about it and say this is the situation we are facing, and we want this committee to help us in this kind of way. I think we must appreciate that a lot. And maybe just to understand as well, as Honorable Faku has said, because I was comparing on the presentation, there's word that says the increment of license fees vis-a-vis the economy that we live under and of the people that you subscribe to SABC. How have you then evaluated, how will it help you, will you be able to get a proper revenues or, and maybe also, Chair, to also allude on the fact that you must engage with the unions so that you get 100% information on all of your employees, so that you'll be able then to, when you do your skills audit, you do a full blast on SABC, so that you would know who is situated where and how, and then how do you then move forward with that. Because I see that you have moved with the 93%, it's only a 7%. If you engage with them so that you get the proper code, also you must have a full trust with your employees. Employees must be able to trust the board, must be able to trust the executive of the SAPC, so that they are able to give away their information, because their fear might be that once they give you their information, it might happen that they were employed in another way. But once they give you their information, then they will lose their employment, and we do not want that. So you need that trust from the employees. So it's very, very important that you must engage with your unions. And Chairperson, I think with this one I'm going to be unpopular, I know. We are talking about the mandate and of what we are doing, but also I think we must be practical when you speak about the revenues that are coming. Because when you say there's, you would spend about 35 million on a certain radio station and only get a revenue of 3 million. It does not make justifiable sense of why you would, unless you have a proper plan that will say at least you'll be able to receive your revenues at maybe a 50% share. Because you can't then spend 35 million and then get revenues of 3 million. Then that one does not make much sense, cause, which means you'll be here again to say we need a bailout of about so much. And we can't keep on bailing out SAPC. SAPC must be able to handle their governance, they must be able to handle their finances, and also to justification of the practicality of what is it that it's practical in this sense. Sometimes you don't let go of things because of you just want to let go. You let go of them because practicality tells you that this is not sustainable within the organization. I think that is it, Chairperson. If there's anything more, then come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that I'm not too worried about the work you guys are doing. I think from where we come from, you've done excellently well to bring the SABC back to its mandate. I just wish that the minister was here so that we could, because I think the issue now is what is happening between the SABC and the Department of Communications, the Department of Treasury. Because I think there is where you guys are being stifled. Because you need money to then move. And you couldn't do that for the longest time because you're dealing with red tape that is being put in your in your tracks by Treasury and so on and so forth. And I appreciate that it's all important work in terms of the turnaround strategy and all that. But and maybe this is a conversation that we need to have with the department. I'd be very careful with selling the assets of the SABC, like you said, because a lot of it has to do with the mandate. XKR. It's an extremely important platform, and to simply cut it out because of monetary constraints would be, I think, detrimental to a culture and a language, which is important. I wanted to reflect on why the SABC is not performing as it should be or at its maximum. Do you know? There's an interesting study that was done by an independent company in the UK, where they found that technology has grown. There's a trajectory of technology from 1895 up until around 2001. So we've seen technology grow, but 2001. Sorry, in 2001, technology literally spiked with the introduction of satellite technology, right? So the spiking of companies like Google, all of those that are satellite-based, they grew in a dramatic fashion around 2001. What then happened is that in the media space, all the entities that then grew in conjunction with that spike became dominant in the industry. And the ones that died are the ones that did not comply with the technological advances. So part of what is happening in the SABC now is the inability for us to be in tandem with that spike. And that is what is at the core of the SABC's failure right now. And this is something that we need to talk about, from a parliament perspective, Chairperson, because not migrating digitally is a huge impediment for the SABC. The SABC is not dominant in the market. It hasn't taken over its audience. It's now, and the argument is this, that the SABC, in its current state, is broadcasting terrestrially, right? Whereas the world has gone satellite, and it's a lot easier to access from satellite. But in order for the SABC to broadcast satellite, it then has to go through another platform, which is owned by competition. And there's something wrong about that. And you will get stifled any way you look at it. right? So we need to migrate digitally so that you are then able to expand your assets. You need more assets. You must not reduce. You need more assets so that you reach more people. You could be reaching Limpopo, you could be reaching Venda there, you could be reaching Mthatha. You know, these are places that don't have, you could be reaching them through their language, through their culture and all of that, if only you had the technology. And if you had the technology, you'd be able to bring back the audience that you need and dominate the market, and you wouldn't have these money problems that you're having. And this is at the heart of what is happening at the SABC. We'll reflect more on those things, Che. But I just thought maybe it's something that we need to... So I was a bit saddened that in your presentation, digital migration just took like 1 minute. And I understand you've got issues that you're dealing with in terms of reports and so on and so forth. But I think we need to put now more emphasis in what is the way forward. And the way forward, and we have to fast track, is that issue of digital migration. I'll end it. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the SABC Board. My first opportunity to engage with you, and a very impressive presentation. Just a general remark. I think we're very pleased with the work the SABC has done so far under the direction of the new board, and in very trying circumstances. And I think the fact that the recommendations of the SABC inquiry have largely been implemented is certainly in your favour. And 90% of the AG findings resolved by management is definitely praiseworthy. So I'd like to say well done there. I have the good fortune to become acquainted with Dr. Situma Mahapi, who used to be CEO of Centec and then moved to CETA. And in his move to CETA, I watched before my eyes as this young, vibrant man aged overnight because of the stresses of running that organization, the corruption that was endemic, the vested interests, the things he and the board had to deal with as they tried to fix that up. And as you know, Dr. Mahapi is now working in the private sector, and good for him, because his life was threatened, and the life of his executives was threatened. You know, they were under constant fear for their lives. And I hear you say that, Chairperson, and that concerns me. Are appropriate steps and risk assessments being done to protect the executives who are involved in the turnaround plan of the SABC? Is enough being done to take care of your personal safety and that of your families? Then, in terms of your staff retrenchment process that was halted until the finalization of the skills audit, I understand. Are you then waiting for that 7% to be completed, the outstanding 7%, and before you embark on your full audit? And once that's done, what sort of timeline do you have in mind? When can we expect to see the SABC taking a serious look at your headcount and how that can be reduced, if necessary? So just give me a timeline on that, please. And then I saw vast realms of documentation. We've got half of Mondi's plantations here on the floor. Huge names and actions taken and litigation. Can you just give me an indication how many staff members have been subject to disciplinary action, say, in the last 12 months? If you can just give me a number on that. And I understand a proposal for increased TV license fees was sent through to the minister. Can you give us an idea of what the increase is that you're looking for in a TV license fee? And how does the increase that you've asked for impact on the poor collection rate? I'm assuming the collection rate is still poor and you haven't worked some magic in that area at the moment. And ideally, I look at your revenue mix I am confirmed by my colleague, 84% comes from licenses. Is that correct? And 15% from advertising revenue. I don't need to tell you that that's not sustainable. You know, clearly that your ad revenue needs to pick up quite quickly. Is that incorrect? Or is that correct? Yeah. Is that correct? 85%? Oh, other way around. Thank you. I withdraw that question. Thank you very much. Then can you tell me, in terms of, I mean, you mentioned some of the problems you had collecting TV licenses and radio licenses, I assume. We, in the last, in the fifth parliament, we had the opportunity to engage with Thibaut Touch, who's heavily promoted by Gareth Cliff. All are ex-SABC people, or certainly built their names and their reputations off the back of this organization. They now run internet radio, and you don't license that, and you get no revenue from that. And that's, they can take a little ship like Radio Caroline and go and broadcast in the sea. Do you have any plans or intentions? How can you control that? Or alternatively, if that's a threat to your organization, and to build on what my colleague was saying, if internet radio and 4IR are a threat to your organization, what steps are you taking to get involved in that? Because clearly internet radio would then be the next step for the SABC to move into, if you're going to compete on at that level. Then just in terms of content, again, I've got a lot of confusion around sporting rights and the SABC. Can you just give me a picture where we are in terms of sporting rights? What sporting rights do you have, exclusively or non-exclusively, and what steps are being taken to amp that up? Us South Africans love our sports, and that's the fastest way to keep our people glued to their screens. Then, surprisingly, I find myself in agreement with the EFF about the sale of assets. You know, and usually quite big on getting rid of non-performing assets, especially when I'm concerned with property. I don't think there's a person in this country that will say the property market in South Africa is currently in a good state. So if you did dispose of properties at this stage, you would be selling into a very poor market, and you would get probably far less than you could realize. Do you have a view on that? And a distress sale or a fire sale is always going to get you far less than you could have got otherwise. And then can you just give me, the report mentions that the matter regarding SSA activity at the SABC has been resolved. Can you give us a little bit more details into that? State security, I presume. That's me done. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Chairperson. You know, I used to be a teacher some years ago, and when I was a teacher, I used to, when a student has done well in class, I used to give that student more work. So as much as I agree with my colleagues here that congratulations, done well, but where I'm sitting, I think you must be given more work so that you work even more hard, because the environment that you are working under is quite complex, and you need men and women to work hard, not the faint-hearted. You need to be strong so that you can cross this river. But I must also join my colleagues that I think you have done well so far, and where faith is true, it must be given to Dr. Makatim. Where credit is due must be given. However, this, my colleagues have covered me on some of the things I wanted to raise, but there's a few. Firstly, I'll start with the HR, because I think that's where you're going to have a mountain to climb. You spoke about three key things, and these are HR-related matters. The first one, you spoke about the turnaround plan. In our government language, it's a strategic plan. You call it turnaround, because you are facing this direction, now you want to face this one. And the second one is the new organogram, which must be aligned to the plan. And the type of skills that you require. And that is the most complex process, because I was a shop steward also for some years. I know no shop steward will agree to that process, because he knows the end result. Whether you don't say it now, but he knows what ultimately will happen. At the end of all this process, there will be what is called rationalization. They call it in a very nice way, we are rationalizing, but in effect, it's called the retrenchment or redeployment. Now, I think that's the area where I think you need to put more work, CEO, give support to that process, because I think that's where you're going to have difficulties. I can tell you now, before you go there, that's where you're going to have more difficulties. So I thought maybe HR, I don't know which one comes first, because in your case, I don't want to discourage you, because everybody is saying you've done well, but I'm a difficult teacher. Because I needed to ask you, which one comes first? How do you start with a skills audit when you have not yet even approved the strategy? What will inform you? Maybe that's why the unions are having some difficulty. But maybe you will clarify as an HR expert. Let me leave it there. And the chairperson of the board, just on a lighter note, in your introduction, you said people must not blame you because in all this mess you find it. You are doing your best to get out, which we agree with. But unfortunately, the professor at the back there knows that there's something called successor in law. If you find the institution in a mess, we can't blame people who are not there. We're blaming you. But when are you correcting it? Not that we don't like what you are doing. And we're happy with what you are doing. But we must put more pressure on you so that you also don't fall into the same trap. Because if you relax and think that, no, hey, the portfolio, everybody in the portfolio committee is happy with my work, you may relax and the institution may relapse. So we need to be a bit hard. I will be different from others because I need you to do more so that you can see that public broadcaster doing quite well. I think the issue of increased TV license, I'm training my colleagues. I don't think it's time to increase license. If you are doing that for now, I think maybe consider other options. There may be other options where you can raise money, but I don't really think with the current unemployment in the country, the current economic situation, really, and you are actually speaking on the very poor. But there's one area where there's a bit of confusion. On this side, you're saying, yes, the economy, people are unemployed, it's fine, we accept statistics, South Africa raised that, and we agree with that. But very interestingly, with other channels, people are paying quite more money. Very interesting. Even if you go to this low-cost housing chapter, you will find all these expensive channels, they are there. That's why I agree with my colleague that maybe if you improve and know your audience better, you are able to communicate with them better. I think people will pay the license even much more. And then at that level, you can then consider now that people are back with you, is it not wise to also go with the petrol price? Because you can see you're going to say petrol is high, so even SABC must increase the license. But I join my colleagues on that one. The other area that I wanted to ask you, the role of community radio stations and their relationship with the public broadcaster. Because in villages where we come from, this community radio station plays a very, very, very important role. People who can afford all these big networks, they rely on the community radio. And one area that I have noticed, majority of this middle-aged population to the elder are the real constituency of radio. You don't seem to be attracting a lot of young people on radio, which is an area that I also think you need to look at. Because if you, some of us are from villages, if we are there in the old villages, normally you find an old man listening to the radio, even if there's a television at home. You find him under the tree listening to the radio, which tells you that you need to focus on, not leave your constituents, but at least focus on finding a better strategy to deal with young people. And there's something also that I wanted my sister, sorry, I forgot the name, my sister was talking about the policy and regulatory framework, but she was not saying exactly what is it that needs to be changed that is impeding, in your view. Because if you just throw it, you see, that's why I said I'm an old teacher. You can have a very good presentation, but if you are presenting to people who don't really understand what type of help do you want to provide, it becomes difficult. Because once you talk about the regulations and policies, you are talking to the committee. Now you need to be very specific. There are impediments in terms of law. So you need to say, but this is a challenge on our side. Not necessarily that the law is wrong, but if there were challenges, this is how it's challenging us. So that on our own as a committee, we can sit and look at whatever proposal you have. And then maybe the last point. And this point, I raised it in our last engagement with SABC, and we're still raising it today. And I did not get a satisfactory answer the last time. And I'll follow it up with you, because you consistently say SABC has been able to save 1 billion. Currently is looking for 6 billion. In the short and medium term, it's 3.2. But in the long term, it's 6 billion. And if I'm incorrect, you must correct me. Now, for me, this is it might be a slight turnaround, but it must also be explained in relation to the one that you are looking for, the 3.2. Because as much as we want to safeguard this institution, all of us, but we also don't just want to let taxpayers' money pay for something that we are not seeing. So I think you need also to clarify that as well, so that the public out there must also know why, when you are doing well, you are able to raise a billion at least is the quarter of what we want in a short term. So can then this committee be guaranteed that if you have your 3.2 billion by the next financial year, you will be able to save almost double that? Because that's what this statement is saying. I'm just interpreting it for you. If you are able to save 1 billion under this difficult condition, by the next financial year, surely most of these cases and everything else that cloud OKPC will be over. We'll be knowing where we go. We'll be focusing on the turnaround. Now, can you guarantee that at least if you said you have not done, you would have doubled that 1 billion. At least from where we're sitting, then we know the public mandate is safe, because if you collapse, it means the public's mandate has collapsed. And so we are here to ensure the mandate is safe, but also ensure that you do your work efficiently. I think, Chair, I will pause for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start maybe first by saying on the side of the SABC and the board, to say indeed you are having a mammoth task, but definitely you are trying your level best. Why I'm saying this, because under these 4 points, when you want to have this turnaround plan, under the governance and the financial sustainability, human capital, the content and the platforms, also on the transmission and the digital migration, my concern may be there. Can I just ask under the human capital, because now, as I was listening on the presentation, especially on the side of the unions, to say now, as you are trying to work with the issue of the skills audit, there comes the challenge to say now, indeed, somehow, when you are engaging with the unions, it shows that there is a challenge. Because when the union comes to the issue of the disputes, then there's a serious challenge there. So mine is just to say, there can you just make an appeal to work on a serious and sensitive side when you are dealing with the issue of the skills, to say what is the best solution, in order that you must find yourself to try to balance, because now you can understand the issue of the salaries. If it becomes a problem, as I was listening to say, it's over, if I'm not mistaken, 43% spending the budget on the issue of the salaries, then it tells you that it's a serious challenge there. So can you just work hand in hand in order that finally you must find one another on that side of the unions and also the company. And also, I would like to say, on the side of the recommendations, where there was the public protector, the AG report findings, and also the internal audit and the forensic, and the other committee, I would like to say, I also somehow to say I'm convinced. Because under the other committee, all the recommendations, I can see that 14 of them were resolved, and then two is still in an ongoing process, in other way around. So others, you were saying 8 of them there are in progress. So it shows that you have tried to balance in all those concerns that they have been raised, to say, indeed, let's try to work hard in order that we can try to clean to whatever way you have been advised, to say, try to resolve and to clean where it is necessary. But now what I would like to know, on the side of the report of Ndate Tolwe, I'm still asking, because now I said even when I was reading, somehow it seems as if there is some loopholes in that report, as it has been tabled to you. So I want to know, to say, is there a possibility maybe to clarify on those concerns that we find that most of other things, it seems as if it was a challenge, not the people who affected there not want to accept to say indeed there is those challenges that they have done there. So I want to know that the SABC is accepting that report just as it is, because now it was the investigation who have been referred to somebody in order that he must deal with those things that he was supposed to do with it. So on the other hand, I want to say that the issue of the bloated stuff, if we can manage to say people who deserve to be there according to their work or their qualifications, it's still much more better to see to these other ones. How best can you reskill those people in order that they can manage to be on the side of the of their work to be saved? So let me pause there. Lastly, I'm convinced, because I even hear that you were saying last week you were having the meeting with the Geotech and the department, and it seems as if all of you are positively to say on those pre-recommendations, most of them you have managed to achieve. It's only one that we are talking about, that one of number 6. But now I wanted to understand, because now we were saying before we can release whatever, you need to do this and this and that. So most, as you are saying, you have managed. Is it just like that to say all of you, you were fully agreed there in the meeting to say now you are going in the right direction? It's only that one thing that disturbs in order that you are managed to get the 100% that you were expecting to get it. Thank you.
Before we allow you to respond, Chair, you said we should not panic. You know, so I just want to make sure that there will be no reason to panic. Just for you to give us some assurances on other issues. Because one of the things is that if you hear that an acting COO is resigning, and then there's an outcry that, look, this digital migration issue may be affected and all that, I think what you need is an assurance that the program is not affected and that you are still able to move forward. Second issue relates to the point raised by Honorable Mulala on what comes next. On one hand, you are doing skills audit, which may have an implication for people, but on one hand, you are filling in vacancies. Whether that would not mean going back again to a process of checking people whether they are still needed by the organization or not. And I know from the labor side, it then says if you feel now possibilities of upward mobility are also affected for those that may be skilled, I'm saying internally. So I think you need to clarify that point so that it's not like we're sending contradicting messages, that on one hand you're doing this, but you are faced with these challenges that you need to deal with. Just on the part of the license, I think in responding to that question, I think the one about debt management part of it, how it will affect, has been raised by Honorable McKinney. But the other point really will be whether a comparative study has been done and whether that can be shared with us in relation to other players in the industry, so that when we make our comments, we're also informed. especially in the time you feel as if one is to be specific, what has been the situation with regards to that, and I'm sure it will show how it has also affected them on the other side. Maybe the other point is really to give assurance to the public that much as you would have inherited what you inherited, can we say at the point where we are, when we say there's a turnaround strategy, that we can get to sing a new song? That when there are matters of corruption, law enforcement agencies are dealing with those, and where there are disciplinary measures to be taken, are dealing with those. But you can assure the South African public that would not have to black out of SABC, and that this broadcaster is entertaining that corner. I think that's in the main what we are also looking at. Maybe the last point is on finances. I know that you said commercial issues may have sensitive information. I think for members of parliament who go in parliament and get to budget vote and appropriate, because the 3.2, I will take it as a matter that separates in that same intervention you're looking at. But there are appropriations that get done annually on whether we are not having a situation, because it should be the other way around, the commercial side should subsidize what you do on the public mandate in case there are gaps, whether we are not doing it the other way. Those are the assurances I think we need, that what you get goes to that one, and that's it. And maybe lastly, without divulging everything else, I think it helps us when we make a call ourselves. This issue about the radio stations, because we can go to and fro about that. I think in the main, what we need is an assurance is that you have identified other revenue sources in case you need to cross subsidize in such a way that you do not compromise public mandate, so that we don't only look at it from commercial. Thank you. So you can respond to both, taking those into account.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. I would
for that, I forgot to read something very important. Should I wait and then I'll...
If you sum up one point, you can raise it now so that at least the response is convincing.
Yeah, this is that I really forgot to read.
Honorable McKenzie is just making sure it doesn't age overnight. He wants to deal with it now.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. You know the memory, it goes a bit, eh? So just my question on sporting rights and content, if you can just add specifically the Rugby World Cup to that. Just give us an indication of what your intentions are regarding the broadcasting of that. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for allowing.
Yes, Honourable Gumbo raised that point, but as I said, you're closer to each other. Chair?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you for your input, and we appreciate your words of encouragement. I will answer some questions. And then I will hand over to my colleagues. Professor Cooper is going to cover some of the questions, and then the other board members, and then after that we'll hand over to the executive team. I want to correct one thing around condition number six. Condition number six from the bailout had two elements to it. It was the property portfolio component, which we fully complied with. The second part is the one that talks to media assets. That's the one that we still need more time to do the evaluation of those assets, media assets, but also to understand what will be the impact of us disposing if that's the direction we follow. But we've met the conditions on the other part. The only one is the media assets. So I just wanted to clarify that. That is not that we've completely not met it. No, we have. It's just one element missing. There was a question around security, safety of our executive. Let me answer that question. After a failed assassination attempt to Mr. Zigode's life, we then approached the security expert or department to do the assessment. And there was a security risk assessment done on the key executives that are in the forefront of the cleanup and the renewal. And it was confirmed that their lives are at risk. In fact, for almost all of them, it was recommended that they must have close protection everywhere they go. Unfortunately, that report has not been tabled to the board, but also the financial constraints. When you just do basic check how much that will cost, it will cost a lot of money, but there is no amount of money worth more than the life of our people. So it's important for this committee to understand that one day when you see that the CEO has two bodyguards, it's not because he feels like, it's because that's what we've been advised by experts to do. So just to give you that, I understand where we are with that. There was a question on the digital. It is true that as the SAPC, we're playing catch up when it comes to the digital world. But with the help of internet as well as things like satellites, we can be able to leapfrog and really move fast in the area, just taking advantage of those two. But the delays in the whole migration are well documented. I mean, we all know what has resulted to those delays, but it is true that the delays has really hurt the SAPC, because SAPC then becomes the biggest loser in this whole thing. And it is true that we must start really working hard to play catch-up. As we stand now, the SAPC is now playing a leadership role, working with the industry, of course, to try and see what other things can be done in order for us to be able to retain our audiences and attract more audiences. Because if this thing continues without SAPC being in the forefront, we will be the biggest loser, and that's the honest truth. But it's important for us to go back that since 1995, SAPC has not owned the digital or rather the signal distribution business or side of the business. And it's normal when you think about where we want to focus as the SAPC. Our focus really is more on the content, and we are a content in the media company. And really for us then to be owning Sentech, it may introduce other problems. But working with other industry players, we are confident that we will be able to contribute and play our part as the SAPC. But also we need to look beyond some of these already established things as maybe worrying ourselves who owns what platform. As long as we can find other cheaper and efficient ways to drive this migration agenda and be able to meet the demands and our mandates, as they say, this we are prepared, I mean, to do that. I mean, you would have seen that we've developed an app just before the election, where you can now access all our radio stations, regardless of where you are. And that app is actually doing very well. It's a first attempt, just to show that we have the capability to really do what is required. So we are aware, and we realize how important for us to drive this migration thing, because can you imagine if we get out of the spectrum? That spectrum can do a lot to unlock economic opportunities for the country. So SAPC sitting with that spectrum is delaying an economic development that could really springboard this country to other elements. So we're working on it, and what we've done, we've actually established a dedicated board committee to look into this thing because of how important digital technology is in the future of the SAPC and in the broadcasting space in general. So I just wanted to answer those two. Those three questions, and then I want to hand over to my colleagues, and then after that the executives will take over and answer the questions.
Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge that the comments made about the larger picture and the issues that confront not only the SABC but our country are quite a complex set of issues. By way of analogy on the technology advancement, when South Africa introduced television, we had the PAL system, whereas established jurisdictions like the US had the NTSC. Somewhere along the way, and despite the CENTEC white paper and so on, we lost the plot. DTT is already passé. LTE does not do it. The plan that the interim board and the current board, when it was appointed in 2017, looked at was both forward scoping as well as to correct the problem. A lot of the issues and recommendations made in that period have been made, including the issue of TV licenses. And in case I forget, just remind me about that. We are confronted with our people being ahead of us with the use of smartphones. They are powered up there, and we are giving them something low down. So it allows the space for other players to take advantage. So without going into too much technical detail, some of which I don't understand, but there are serious cheaper alternatives. And using the current distributor, which is the Ganda Ganda model, CENTEC. You can use that and quickly bring us to what other countries already are in, the 5G space. So this board, when it was reconstituted in April, the middle of April, was fully cognizant of that. But we looked at merely the turnaround strategy. That's not the forward scoping and the vision. And that's why there's been some difficulty with certain issues, because competitors and would-be media players, and bear in mind, honorable members, the media space looks very big, but it's a very small one when it comes to ownership and control. The public broadcaster, given its dual given the duality of its mandate, has to, in the ideal world, maximize its commercial side to meet its public mandate, so that there's no reliance on the fiscus. When we make the request, we're not making it because we want to prioritize this over bread and butter issues and the living conditions of people. We need to make that very clear. However, in terms of that vision, that ability, and the will to take us to that space within the next couple of years, literally, this board has it. We're hamstrung with the catch-up space and leapfrogging to the new space. On the issue of commercial viability, and the chair has eloquently raised that ours is a national heritage. There are very few countries in the world that can boast the array of languages and the uniqueness of those languages and the need to keep those languages. Where else do you speak Afrikaans? Where else do you have a radio station, XKQ, catering for the oldest living ethnic group on earth, the Komani San of the Southern Kalahari, to which 95% of the world's population can trace their DNA, not just in South Africa, the world. So if we lose that because you're only getting 10% revenue versus you are actually allowing civilization, humanity as we know it, to die, and we believe that the mandate is very clear. We should enable those languages to be out there. It's very interesting, though, that the rumor mill has it that some of the more commercially viable stations are the ones that people want to purchase. You know, primarily in English, and maybe a little or half in Afrikaans. So it gives you an idea of the pressures and the complex web of interlocuting partnerships in the media space, where the public broadcaster needs to engage with those partners but still maintain its public broadcast mandate. And that one is one that will be constantly buttressed against, because people will say, why don't you sell? And I'm pleased that under the current economic climate, members are aware that you can't just sell on a fire sale, because you'll get nothing. In turn, what you're selling a spectrum, you can go and re-license later, and you've got some another animal using what we have. And that is what the South African public is paying for. So on the license fees, we've been debating that, and I think probably the next meeting we'll be discussing a plan on licenses, because we don't want to add to the burden on the South African public. But we also need to be realistic that we can't shoot ourselves in the foot if we don't have certain alternatives. So those alternatives are linked to future visioning and the direct link in making sure that the reliance on licenses is less, because if you go the serious cheaper tech route, you can pinpoint individual listeners and viewers wherever they are. You don't need to do the kind of collections that happen. So all of those factors are part of what we have.
Thanks, Jay. The last concern that came from you, Chair, and I want to make an assurance to you that you should not really panic. A former member of this committee once said to me that at the SABC is rough and it's tough. And when we opted to be members of that board, we knew that is not going to be easy. It's going to be rough and tough. And even when there was pressure, when other members of the board bought out, we decided that we have got a national duty to be there, though we know that it's going to be rough and tough, and we are still there. I just want to make some comments on the media leaks. The media leaks, and what the Chair spoke about. We're hitting it hard when we implement consequence management. And I want to assure the committee that people who are involved in the corruption at the SABC are not people at the lower level. Are the people at the higher level who have got access to journalists who are able to leak sensitive information. But I want the public and the committee not to be deterred. We are hard on it, and then we are assured that SABC is going to be okay in our presence, and then we need the support of this committee and the support of the nation, and we want it to be, happy with it. I think Honorable Kubeka was speaking about the bloated stuff, and I like what she was recommending. And I think it's a progressive move in terms of reskilling the staff. There are people who have been at the SABC for a very long time, and instead of maybe retrenching, you can actually reintegrate them, reskill them, to make use of them at the best at other positions. But what I want to say is, we are there. You don't have to panic. We will not resign unless you guys remove us through a process. Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. I chair the SABC Foundation, and just as the SABC itself as a corporation is going through this massive and important transformation process, so too the foundation is being turned around so that it will be less broadly focused on charities and poverty alleviation and more
cleverly, smartly, and narrowly focused on broadcasting and technology, and focus on supporting our public, our constitutional, our human rights, and our multilingualism mandates, including on social cohesion and nation building. Given the current challenges of violence in our communities in general, due to criminality and gender-based violence against women, children, and LGBTQI people in particular, these are the critical areas the Foundation wishes to contribute towards healing our nation.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question on the meeting that was held on Friday regarding the safe conditions and where are we from a bailout point of view. The plan that we presented to you is premised on the fact that we need a 2 billion trench by the end of this month, and there is alignment from the DOC as well as JTAC in terms of what needs to happen in that regard. The second issue is on the sports rights, specifically on the radio rights on rugby. We have said that one of the biggest cost drivers for the SABC is the exorbitant cost of the sports rights. We certainly committed to our mandate of ensuring that we broadcast sports of national interest. However, it's been extremely expensive and it has affected our profit and loss statement. In the past 3 years, we have lost about 3.8 billion. And if we were to continue in this trajectory, in the next 3 years, we'd need another 6.8 billion, which is just not sustainable for the SABC. We then took a decision that...
Chairperson, just a clarity. When you say you've lost 3.8 billion, what do you mean?
On sports rights. And this would include soccer, this would include cricket, and all of those sports of national interest. Because when we engage with the sub-licensees, there is a point where we need to pay. And what tended to happen was that what we spent and what we got was just not making commercial sense. And
I think the CEO is coming all right, but maybe rephrase the question. I think the question was, can you please explain this sports rights thing? Who pays for what and is paying who?
All right.
So that we are very clear, because we want to get into that space, but we are unable to discuss
it.
But let's also allow him to explain, because that's what it is.
So basically, I will make an example. Let me make an example so that it's clearer. If you look at this is public knowledge. About 6 years ago, there was a contract that was signed in terms of acquiring sports rights for football. That contract was 280 million per year over 5 years. And the revenue generated by the SAPC was less than 40 million. So you can appreciate that is a commercially wrong deal. And what we've been doing since the board, in fact, instructed us to say, we will not sign any deal that is not commercially viable for the SAPC. Every single deal that we look into, we look at commercial viability, but the need to serve the public mandate. So what has tended to happen in the past was these deals were signed without necessarily looking at the cost base for the SAPC. So if you look at the submission that we've made to ICASA, we're talking about some of these issues, the need to unbundle these rights, the need for more transparency when it comes to pricing, because you're effectively paying value for a property that you do not know what it costs. So that's where it is. Even with the rugby rights when it comes to radio, it was the same thing. The price that was put on the table was just exorbitant, and much as we are committed to broadcasting sports of national interest, we could not allow a situation where we get into a deal that is not financially viable. I'll give you an example. The last fiscal, we recorded 483 million losses, which was a huge improvement from the 722 million the year prior. Of the 483 million losses, about 400 million of that is directly contributing from the cost of sports rights. So that is the burden that we are expected to carry as the SCPC. The other issue that I would want then to address is the engagement with the unions. I know that an honorable member raised that point then. I meet personally with the unions at least once a month because if you're running an organization like ours, there are always issues that affect employees that need to be dealt with at this level. So there is an engagement, very robust. There are things that we agree on and there are things that we do not agree on. And we do try to find one another in every single thing that we do because it's about the interest of the SCPC at the end of the day. The other point that I would want to talk to is the issue of, there was an issue about the competition from radio, internet, and all of these. The SABC actually has a huge market share. We're standing at about 73% of the share. And what we're actually doing, which is a key issue for us, is how can we ensure we translate that huge market share to revenue? And the manner in which, I mean, Chairperson spoke about the need to market and invest in branding when it comes to all of our properties. That is what we're now doing. And we're also diversifying the income streams by looking into merchandising, looking at popular radio stations, for example, like Ukozi, which has about 7.5 million people, listeners. We're looking at merchandising opportunities, T-shirts, caps, which would be a different stream. There's also an eventing strategy on all of the radio stations that we're actually implementing. So it's not an issue of the market share. It's an issue of how we better commercialize and monetize the initiatives that we have for our radio stations. The role of community radio stations, we actually, broke as we are as the organization, we do contribute a certain grant to the development of MDDA. And what we're also focusing on is to train all of these, most of the employees as well as the DJs in those stations. The report on Dr. Kholi's report, this was accepted by the board. If members remember, this was an independent process, and the board did not want to interfere. And most of the recommendations that were submitted were accepted by the board and are being implemented. Case in point is the issue of irregular appointments, which also links to another debate from the Public Protector's report. The organization has identified about 28 people that were appointed irregularly. And as you may appreciate, this is not an indictment on the individuals. It's basically to say your appointment was not in line with the recruitment processes, selection, and so forth. And in instances, people without the required qualification, without the required business acumen, were actually catapulted into positions that they are not appropriate for. So we have a duty, particularly for those employees in the organization who are qualified, skilled, to ensure that we rebase and do what is right for the SABC. In this regard, we decided not to take the law in our hands, but to actually approach the courts so that they can either set these appointments apart or declare them invalid. And what is also interesting, and I think honorable members need to know this, since we commenced with this process, there's been many more of the employees now that have been submitted who apparently were not irregularly appointed. We're going to go through the same process, very rigorous investigation and analysis, and looking at the SABC selection and appointment criteria when it comes to this. Then there was a point on the filling of vacancies. As I said earlier on, currently we have about 227 people who are acting in senior managerial roles. And you can imagine what that does from a decision-making point of view for stability as well as business continuity. All of these are not possible if you have people that are going to act for 3 months and then you get another person. And so what we've then done, we've been able to advertise and want to fill in those critical vacancies. I'll give you an example. Of the 19 radio stations that we have about 10 vacancies for the radio station managers, and we need to ensure that we fill these vacancies. As well as the at a group executive level, we have about 5 group executives that are acting. We need to ensure stability and fill this. Head of provinces, we have quite a couple of them that have been acting for some years now, and we want to ensure we bring stability in that regard. Blackouts, we can assure the nation that the worst is over. I think the past 12, 13 months have been very difficult and challenging for us. Everything that could go wrong did, from the fires, the diesel spillage, employees being hospitalized. But I think what we can take out of that is the commitment of the SABC employees, because they ensured that despite all of these difficult, all of the challenges, no financial injection, we're able to fulfill the public mandate. Then, Chairperson, the point that you highlighted on annual appropriations, and I think maybe I need to clarify by making this example, of the 6.5 billion that we could make last year, 84% of that was generated through commercial revenue, 15% through the TV licenses, and the percentage that you're talking about was about 200 million from government. And that normally goes to educational programs as well as to the Channel Africa radio station. So I think I've covered my bit, Sylvia and Deputy. Thank you, Chair.
Do you want to do that? Can I?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to confine my responses to the number of questions that were raised regarding the TV license fees increases, as well as the non-compliance rates and the methods of collections within TV licenses. First, let me start by saying the South African TV license tariff is the fourth lowest in the whole world. And when you look at our tariff fee, comparing it to other countries in terms of the number of people that benefit from a broadcast service as such as the SABC, the license fee is fairly very small. It's not enough for us to be able to provide the compelling content that we believe our citizens deserve. Now, what's been happening over time is that although the TV license tariff has remained relatively small, at the same time what the SABC is facing is increasing collection costs, because those, they do go up on an annual basis. So you find yourself in a situation where for you to be able to collect 265, you need to spend at least 25 rand of that 265. What we also brought to the board's attention is that a portion of that 265 also goes to allocations of VAT. So ideally, you are not able to walk away with any profit from that 265 if you take into account the VAT portion as well as the internal collection costs that we incur as the SABC. And these come in many forms. We send people SMSs, we send emails, we phone people, we pay our external agencies as well. So all those costs, when they mount on that 265, ideally the SABC does not walk away with much. So I heard, there was a mention that there's a rumor that we're going to increase TV license tariff. I'm not going to say the rumor is true or wrong. However, What the SABC did was that we approached the minister towards the end of 2018. We approached the Department of Communication requesting a tariff increase. Right now, there has not been a decision or a determination made on whether the SABC will receive that increase, and if that increase does happen, what will the increase be. So I think we should just dispel that rumor, because I have seen a couple of newspaper articles continuously saying the SABC is increasing tariff increase. According to the Broadcasting Act, the SABC will only increase TV license tariff increase upon confirmation or approval by the minister. It's a power that is only embedded within the minister's office. So there is no tariff increase right now as we speak. And then lastly, just to touch on issues of non-compliance, what the SABC has been doing over time is that, in addition to the collection costs that I spoke about, we also continuously improve our technology in order to not only use the same methods of collection, but also to implement collection methods that speak to our people. When I presented earlier on, I mentioned that we want to be able to collect license fees in a manner that is more comfortable, easy for our license holders. And that has always been the focus. I think it will be the focus to make sure, because there is no way that we will be able to increase our customer base without making sure that we deliver on the required customer service, and that's the focal point. That's what we are focusing on. So what we do is, on a continuous basis, we measure collection methods that bring in the most license fees, the most license fee revenue, and improve on those. But not only that, we also take the input of our customers out there, whether it can be on our website or via SMSs, because they do respond to us via SMS. We will take and collate all those recommendations that they make and review the collection processes that we have. A lot of the times we will improve on a collection method that brings in the most revenue. So we've had instances of reduced compliance as far back as 2015. And I think from a historical point of view, we can all understand at that time when people started to really stop paying TV license fees and withdraw their commitment from the SABC. It's unfortunate for the SABC that it started gradually in 2015, and then 2016 it took a spike. The non-compliance numbers now started to increase. And that is why we are saying, in trying to take or bring back our license holders, we need to not only focus on collecting license fees, but we also need to complement that with compelling content on our platforms to be able to gain back the confidence that our license holders or our viewers used to have in us in the past. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question raised around the SIU and how the SABC is proceeding in terms of dealing with matters raised by the SIU. As a result of this investigation, there have been 45 matters identified through the investigation of the SIU. Of the 45, 10 have been referred for civil litigation. And these 10 are made up of issues pertaining to what has happened around some organizations within the private sector. In other words, how they've conducted business with the SABC, and I'm saying organizations within the private sector. This includes SABC employees and how they've engaged in issues of fraud, as well as issues of infringement around our supply chain management processes and procedures. In addition to the 10, there's 11 criminal referrals. And lastly, there's 24 disciplinary referral matters that we are currently dealing with or have dealt with. It's noteworthy that in some instances, at the point of us preferring charges against particular employees, they choose to resign. And as we know, resignation is a unilateral act. So they resign in the midst of us preferring disciplinary charges. But what we do is, when we know that we have enough evidence around these employees, we basically get in touch with the pension fund administrator to enable us to interdict the retirement benefits of these employees. And the work that I've highlighted around the SIU, I must acknowledge that most of this has been discharged through the offices of Advocate Banara, who is our head of legal. There were questions raised around the skills audit and our engagement with organized labor. And I'm not going to repeat what the CEO has said on our relationship with organized labor. Suffice to say that we have two majority unions that are not CITHART unions. We engage with them in a very robust fashion, but our relationship is not adversarial, and of course it's characterized by contradictions. It's normal. There was a question around whether are we waiting for us to achieve the 7% of the rest of the employees in order to achieve 100% so that we can pursue Section 189. The answer is no in both instances. 7% no, in the sense that we might recall that in 2014 SABC discharged a skills audit process, and the sample that they were able to attain at the time was less than 30%. And so, with the information that we have, we basically can use job families in terms of assessment of the skills, you know, that we require. So if they do submit the 7% or so, which will be around 200 employees or so, it will be a bonus for us. But with the information that we have, we are satisfied that we can proceed with the assessment process. I'll come back to the skills audit matter because I know there's a question that was raised. What do you start with? Why do you start with skills audit? I'll come back to that question. Let me deal with the question around how many staff members have been subjected to disciplinary hearings in the last 12 months. In the last 18 months, we've managed to close 86 disciplinary hearings. Whether employees were dismissed or given final written warnings or warnings, but we've gone through due process in terms of dealing with those matters. We still have about 11 or so matters that are still outstanding, and these emanate from SIU cases, the outcomes of the public protector report, the sexual harassment report, which you will know that this report was submitted and accepted by the board in October, November last year. We just left with one case that we're dealing with in terms of the sexual harassment matter. There were six employees identified as alleged perpetrators, and we've dealt with all those, save for one matter. I acknowledge, Chair, the fact that from a human capital point of view, we need to put more work because it is characterized by difficulties, and we're doing precisely that. And then there was an issue raised around the 43% or our salaries constituting 43% of our costs. It's a bugbear for the organization, and it's a matter that needs to be dealt with. And we're putting measures in place to deal with that. Let me come to the question that was raised, Chair, around what comes first, skills audit or the organization, you know, redefining or defining its org structure. We have begun, as I said earlier, a process where we look at, first of all, our operating model, and secondly, our org structure. But in looking at our operating model, we had to, and we still have to, look at what is the core competence of the SABC. What is the core competence of the organization? So it is an impersonal, albeit clinical look at the organization without looking at individuals. And it becomes a scientific process because all that you are doing is is asking the question and you're looking for the answer. What is the core competence of the SABC? And that's why we have to deploy a vision that is in line and in touch with what's happening around the SABC in terms of issues of digitization as well as the 4IR. And the answer to the core competence of the SABC of the modern era is located within us understanding where we're going in as far as 4IR/digitization is concerned. And therefore, what follows is a key operating model, first of all, by the respective divisions, and as I said, we're halfway through that process in terms of redefining our operating model. Just to give an example, in human capital terms, the much spoken about operating model is that of Dave Ulrich, because it's been tried and tested, and it's scientific that it works in as far as helping the human resources environment to assist the organization in terms of delivery of the HR mandate. That's the Dave Ulrich model. So that's an example of one of the models. Then once we've defined those things, we then have to look at a structure, an org structure. Once again, a clinical, impersonal look at an organizational structure without factoring in people. Because we are basically saying, if the SABC is going to be able to deliver on the mandate, what sort of org structure does the SABC ought to have? We will recall that it was this very house that told SABC that the SABC could not proceed with pursuit of Section 189 before the SABC discharges a skills audit exercise, this house. Secondly, the DOC was very clear that the SABC could not pursue Section 99 until the SABC does a skills audit. And finally, organized labor are the ones that actually place an obligation on the SABC to discharge a skills audit before we proceed with Section 99. And some of us might recall that this pronouncement, at least some of the pronouncement, was made just before the general election in May. Okay, the CEO has already addressed the issue of 97 critical positions that you ought to fill because the organization was debilitated in terms of delivery of our output without the 97 positions. But we have a recruitment and selection policy that is very clear that we will advertise our positions firstly internally for 7 days. Look at our own employees before we go outside. In fact, the policy is very clear. It says the SABC will exhaust the internal environment before the SABC goes outside. And I'm hoping, Chairperson, that I've been able to answer the question pertaining to why do you recruit whilst at the same time you are pursuing a skills audit? It was critical that we recruit, but we're mindful of the fact that in some instances we can actually find the skills internally. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make sure that we don't leave this house having not found each other on the TV licenses stage. Please. Because if you look at the streams of revenue for the SABC, number one, it's advertising and sponsorship. It gives us 84%. TV license is the second biggest stream for us. It gives us 15%. Right? So I don't want honorable members to think that SABC can do away with TV licenses because it is the second biggest revenue stream. followed by government, which government gives us 3%. So, revenue stream for the SABC is commercial and sponsorship, advertising revenue, 84%, 15% is TV licenses, 3% comes from government, which equates to about 200 million, and it goes to specific things that we need to do. So I think it's important for me to explain it. But also I want to ask the honorable member that how much do you pay a guy who look after your car at a parking mall? Surely you pay them more than 72 cents. All right, so let's not come here and be a little bit impossible and economic about stats and reality. 72 cents a day cannot really justify us saying TV licenses are too expensive. Actually, there's more South Africans who can afford to pay 1 rand a day towards SABC. I mean, if you are paying a guy who looks after your car more than 72 cents, how about SABC who gives you 19 radio stations, 5 TV channels, and who plays such a critical mandate in educating, informing, and entertaining our general public? So the truth of the matter is we need those licenses, fees to be paid, and actually more South Africans are starting to pay because they can see the SABC changing. So it's important for us to get your support. Maybe we can have a debate or proposal around maybe the indigenous being sort of protected if we change the legislation. But as we stand now, TV licenses are critical. Thank you.
I'm now taking follow-up questions. I'll do that. I'll move with that line there. Marco Machozi, then Mkweza Makezi, and Mulala, I want you to come up. Okay. I hope that advert will pay for
what you can. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. My question will be, Chair, to the Chairperson of the Board and the Executive to give us a clear indication on how much this turnaround strategy will cost the SABC. Will the 3.2 billion be enough? If not, how are they going to meet the shortfall? I think, Chair, we need to emphasize on this issue of the preconditions. I think both Chair and the CEO have tried to respond to this issue. And I think the Chairperson is coming back again to say that the evaluation on property was done. But now the evaluation on other issues were not done because they wanted to really understand the value of the preconditions. But then there must be no wrong perception that we are saying that is it XFM to be closed down. That is not what we are saying, Chairperson. That is not what we are saying. Our concern, we want to understand and we want to assist the board. If government gives you the 3.2 billion, I believe that as SABC, maybe you require about 6.8 billion for your turnaround strategy. So perhaps if you can take us through that, Chairperson. Thanks, Chair.
Maybe I'll just start where Honorable Faku left off. I think maybe it's either we were misunderstood or something, because our concern was that if you put up 35 million and get 3 million revenues, then which means you are not making a viable commercial revenue. So how then, what is the plan at hand to make sure that you do not come back again and ask for a bailout? That was our question. We wanted a plan at hand. Not that you must now let go or close of other stations, because as much as it is your mandate to provide diverse cultural heritage, it's your mandate also to provide entertainment to the national interest of South Africa, but you saw that it does not make commercial viable sense, and then you decided that you will not go along with it. But here we want to know that since you are taking the stand that no, you are keeping all the stations and you want to do the social cohesion on the cultural heritage, but what is the plan at hand that you have? And Chair, I had this question because I wanted to know when they, I think it was Honorable Mackenzie when he asked about the staff members, and I had a follow-up question on your proactiveness on the, because I did not see it on the document, that what will be your steps when executives or directors of the organization do not follow processes of complying, whether with supply chain or the processes of the organization, what steps will you take? Because now you must not be reactive anymore and there will be litigations and stuff. So those things must be minimized. Then what is the plan that you have to make sure that if people do not comply, you tell them now. I'm not talking about the previous ones who have done whatever it is that they've done, but now, from now on, what if you don't comply with the processes of the organization, what is it that is going to happen? Because it will also come to eliminating the irregularities of some findings that you will get within the AG. So you'll be able to also minimize that. So I would like to know on that one, what is it going to what is going to happen? But I think that is it, Chairperson. We just want to know how will they sustain the SABC going forward. Thank you.
Ma'am, you're talking about the decline of compliance with TV licenses in 2015. Interestingly, in 2013, the economy grew at about 3.2, right? And then in 2014, it grew at about 2.5. In 2015, it was at 1.3, it was at the lowest. And it's in 2015 as well that unemployment grew to its highest at 27% at that time, right? So there's a correlation between what happens generally in society and these TV license issues. And it brings me to a question that you raised then later on, which is, what do we do with these license things, right? So I'll give you an example. In politics, our members in the EFF pay 10 rands a year, right? In the Eastern Cape, it is extremely difficult to get our members to pay 10 rands for a whole year, right? Now, that should tell you, because that 10 rands for them buys bread. It buys milk. It does the necessary things. In for you and I, it's nothing. 72 cents a day, it's nothing. We can afford that. But for the majority of the population, it is not that easy. And especially now that we've got 10 million people who are unemployed. 10 million. The SABC rakes in about 6 or 7 million viewers. And most of them are poor people who can't afford DSTV and all of that. So it's I think it's incorrect to say that it's cheap. And so we then have to find, and it's a pity because it then becomes a policy issue, it becomes a legislation issue.
because at the moment, legislation says that TV licenses must be paid, right? So maybe the conversation that we need to have, Chair, between ourselves, the SABC, all of the stakeholders, as to what needs to happen with these TV licenses, because maybe there are more creative ways in which the SABC can make money other than through TV licenses, right? So, for instance, if you were to digitize the space, you're giving more channels to more areas, right? And you can even customize your advertising for specific places, right? But you're broadening the space and you're giving yourself more of a chance of making revenue. And you could even, you know, play with the idea of a premium bouquet type thing where the ones who can afford the money can pay, and then you have one that is free for people who, you understand what I'm saying? So there are creative ways in which one can play with the thing so that people will still get the free service, but the SABC is making more money, right? So that's the first issue. Because, you know, we've dealt with a lot of corruption, and a lot of it is now coming out in the Zondo Commission now. And it's called state capture. And I was one of the people in the SABC inquiry who was fighting for the concept to be called state capture in the SABC report, because that's what it was. Because in essence, the multi-choice, through corrupt deals with ministers and stakeholders and so on, they have literally throttled the SABC. And that is what has happened. And this is something that we need to internalize ourselves here, because the competition is multi-choice. And the reason why the SABC is not succeeding is multi-choice. That is what is at stake. Okay, there's corruption and all sorts of other things that are happening and so on and so forth. So in line with that thing of multi-choice, Chair, the issue of mass carry, have we been able to resolve those issues? Because we need to recoup those monies from multi-choice. It's a lot of money that we need to get from multi-choice. And we need to deal with that. My last point, Chair, or just before the last point, the issue of the ownership of technology, Sentech, I agree with you that, you know, the SABC cannot own Sentech. But we need to find, and I think this is probably a parliamentary issue, a legislation and policy issue, where we need to find a better correlation between SABC, Sentech, and Telkom. Because the reason why multi-choice has grown is because it's leveraging on that MTN relationship. And the SABC doesn't have that. And it's a pity, because it's, you know, I mean, Telkom is government owned, so we should be able to leverage off the Telkom. And when Telkom lost their Telkom TV license and sold off, it was a pity, because there was a space for the SABC to then enter and begin to dominate the market from it, because that's what it's about. It's about dominating the market. And then my last point, you know, the issue of it's not so much a GCO, it's not so much the market share, and I think you put it correctly. It's about converting that market share into cash for the SABC. And the reason why that is not happening is because we're bringing in the numbers, but we're not dominating the market. We're not dominating the business, the industry. And the reason why we're not doing that is because technologically we don't have, we're being carried by someone else, and that's why it's extremely important that we begin to take over the technology side of things. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I just ask you, and excuse me if it seems ignorant, I was always told that there's no such thing as a stupid question, so it's an information-seeking question. Does the SABC have spectrum that's free and available that you own, that you have a license for, that you're not using, and that you're selling to or leasing to other parties? Then in terms of the, again, just to come back to the sports rights, I mean, without giving anything away, I don't want you to stray into an area where you're divulging information that you shouldn't. How much were you asked for the rights to broadcast the rugby on radio, even the delayed broadcast? You said it was far too much. I just want to get an idea of what kind of exploitation we're talking about. Did you approach the broadcasters to find out whether you could broadcast selective games, like perhaps South Africa against Japan? I still haven't seen that game. I believe we did quite well because I don't have any DSTV in my house. There's Netflix and Showmax, and these are the competitors. You know, did you negotiate for individual games? Did you play that sort of game? And what kind of money are we talking about? And then after SuperSport has finished these games, even two or three or four or 5 days later, was there any negotiation around broadcasting any of these games to bring it to a wider populace? I think if there's one thing we can really see visible transformation, I'm just looking from the outside, I see rugby. I mean, we have amazing captains, we have amazing teams, we have a team that the whole nation can get behind, and we've seen the power of sport. So to exclude many of the 7 million that my colleague was talking about from participating and being involved in this very exciting event, I think is a terrible shame if it's just about money. Ma'am, you mentioned about the increase in the TV license. You said, as we speak, my relationship with my wife is very good. Tomorrow, I can't tell you what it's going to be like. You know, the best way to dispel rumors, of course, with fact. So if you can guarantee us, as we're sitting here, that there isn't going to be a TV license increase, I'm sure the public would be very grateful for that. Then also, just speaking to TV licenses, what percentage of non-compliance are we looking at, especially around, say, you started seeing a trend in 2015, 2016, it was exacerbated. What sort of percentage are we looking at? And then my colleague also said that perhaps we should, you know, together engage around alternative models as opposed to a TV license. And just on that thing, I mean, I would imagine an example would be to ring-fence a levy on every device that's capable of receiving the internet, which would be a laptop, a tablet, a phone, and that you ring-fence that levy, and then that goes towards the SABC as a broadcast. I'm not sure such things are possible. And then lastly, on your skills audit, so I did ask you for some sort of timeline when we could expect to see that finalized. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Mulan, does he want to come back?
Yeah, Chair. SABC has told us that they collect license on people who use ordinary radio. Or ordinary TV. Yeah. So, I don't know what... is where I'm sitting, I thought they would be saying they collect license on anybody who uses their content, and maybe it still speaks to the issue that she raised earlier on of regulation, so that she can also clarify us on what impediment in terms of regulations, because I don't think that question was also answered. Maybe in answering this one, we must also touch on that one of the regulatory impediments that she sees them. The other last point is on I've been following the State Capture Commission, and there was a short, I think, I don't know in what meeting, we were short that there were engagement between the commission on interfacing whatever they are investigating. But from where I'm sitting, there's a lot of duplication. the evidence given in the commission possibly is the same evidence given in the hearing or in the criminal proceedings. Because from where I'm sitting, the evidence that is provided there may end up, I don't know what is the correct legal weight, prejudicing the entire process, because they are giving evidence on some of the key questions. Maybe if that also can be clarified so that we know the demarcation. I'm not having a problem with Hairaube. All I'm saying is that if I give evidence here and give evidence here on the same matter, it might be difficult for the one party to proceed because they will still wait for the other. So in that case, I would also need the SAPC's indulgence in that regard, so that we don't come back and say, but this case could not be considered because they were on the State Capture Commission. So we're still waiting for the commission. Instead of finalizing those that you finalize as SAPC, and then State Capture should not get into that if you have finalized. So, yeah, those are the two questions.
Yeah, I don't know as to whether you are going to allow me just to raise two things, just to be clarified on two things before. Thank you, Chair. When the CEO was responding to some of the question raised here, he spoke about five group executive posts which were not filled, which are not filled by now. So I just want to check what is causing this delay in terms of filling in this fucking post of the five group executives, if I understood the question, the answer well. Secondly, Mr. Mugova was talking about, when he was responding, in fact, he was worried about the media leaks from SABC. Just want to check as to whether the SABC is having some contingency plans to address this. If they are there, what are those? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me answer a few and then hand over to my colleagues. We were asked a question about what is your plan? What is going to help you not to come back for more? I just want to remind honorable members that SAPC only got a government guarantee 10 years back. So I don't want SAPC being confused by those other entities that have been bailed out in the last couple of years. So the last time we got a government guarantee, which was paid back, was in 10 years back. But let me explain why we show that if we are allowed to do what we can do as a board and as the executive, there would be no need for the SAPC to come back here for government guarantee or for bailout. If you look at what SAPC has been able to do in the last 24 months without any financial injection, we've moved our losses from R1 billion down to about 622 million, from 622 down to 483 million. And the CEO just said, out of that 483 million rand loss in the last financial year, about 410 million was due to sports. What have we done? We've renegotiated all those contracts that were not financially making sense for SAPC. It's just one example. At some point I was talking to you about, I said there's 14 official languages. In fact, there's 11 official languages. But as SAPC, We've gone beyond that. Sign language is another thing. So that's why I spoke about the 14. If you look at the elections that we've delivered, without any financial injection, SABC delivered the best election coverage ever. Now, when you just look at those things, you can then be confident that if we are allowed to do what we want to do, we can turn around that place. But concretely, what we presented today is a turnaround strategy. So when people say, what's the plan is what we presented today. And to simplify it, there's three elements to this turnaround strategy. The first part, talk to what I call legacy and governance issue. Under that, we're dealing with all the wrongs of the past, with an aim of recovering some money. We are implementing the remedial action from the public protector. We are dealing with Auditor General's findings. We are dealing with SIU findings. We are dealing with our own forensic investigation. We are dealing with the other comments. So that takes care of what went wrong in the past. In the process, we are intensifying or strengthening our governance system. And I want to assure you that if somebody step out of line and contravene our policy, we do take decisive action. I mean, there are people that we've parted ways with, that were appointed by this board, that were appointed by us. So it's not like we're looking only backward. We are making sure that there is no repeat of the past. And that's why we've been very decisive when it comes to consequence management. So I want these members, honorable members, to be comfortable that we have a plan. And the plan is already starting to yield desired results. The second thing that talks to what is the plan, part of the reason why SABC might find itself where it is today is because of policy, regulatory and legislative things that were never assessed what impact they will have on the SABC. Some of them did not move with time. So maybe they were good at the time, but as we progress, they've become problematic or negative to the SABC. Under that, we've made comprehensive submission on the mass-care regulations. We've made comprehensive submission when it comes to issues of sports regulation. We've also made suggestions around digital migration. How do we fast-track digital migration so that we can be able to leverage that and find the most cost-effective way to migrate? Okay? So that talks to that box where I talk about policy, regulatory, and legislative issues. I've even said, when it comes to TV licenses, if we feel that the indigent can't afford, maybe we can change legislation to exempt them, all right? But there are other South Africans who can still afford, and let's make sure that those who can pay, pay. Those who can't pay, let's find ways to cushion them. So that's the second element of this strategy. The third element is what the CEO presented, which is the commercial operational element of the business. Under that, you're doing three things effectively. You're growing revenue. There's new revenue stream that the SABC we've been able to come up with. That's why we've delivered what we've been able to deliver. Things like channel carriage fees. Those are new things that we can innovate and enhance. Issues around cost cutting. The thing that we've cut about R1 billion, right, it shows you that that element of the strategy is already working. Of course, there are areas that would have wanted to invest more, like marketing, so that we can attract more revenue. But the truth of the matter is, the commercial and the operational element talks to revenue growth, cost cutting, and driving efficiencies within our own business. Because there are some inefficiencies that we need to deal with. But also there's been a lot of innovation in the space. As the SABC, we need to catch up and use a lot what is available to us, like internet, satellite, to save in other areas. So we do have a strategy. And it is because of that strategy or that plan that we still stand. There was a question about consequence management. I've covered it. There was a question around, for an example, the Zondo SIU investigation. The truth of the matter is we're not waiting for the Zondo Commission. SIU presented that out of the 45 matters that they've dealt with, about 10 civil litigation matters are already in court. 10. All right? About 11 criminal referrals have been done. About 24 disciplinary referrals. That's from the FI. So we're not waiting for anybody. We're going ahead with our renewal and the rehabilitation plan. So there will be a discussion between the Zondo Commission and the FIU about some of the investments that are still ongoing to see who runs with what. But of course, at the SABC, we can't answer that because even for us, we were invited to the Zondo Commission. We got asked questions and we answered the questions that we asked. So you don't invite yourself and you can't dictate what must happen. But I just wanted to give you comfort that work is being done. We're not waiting for anybody or for anything. That's what I wanted to cover. Let me hand over to Theo.
Thank you, Chair. I'll respond to the question on the cost of the Rugby World Cup. That would have cost us about $28 million. And in terms of that, would be the TV rights, $28 million. And then the radio rights would have been $60,000. And that does not factor into the issue of production costs, which would have been just close to about $900,000. Then there was a question on whether we own the spectrum. We only have the license right to use the spectrum through ICASA, and we then license the use via that mode. There was also another question on why is it that it took us longer to fill in those critical vacancies, particularly at the group executive level. You may recall that early this year, the ministry undertook to integrate the two departments, DOC as well as Telecom. So we were then asked that we should not proceed with any filling of vacancies until that integration process was complete. So we waited for the directive then to be reviewed, which was about 2 months ago. So we're given a go-ahead to advertise these positions. We've advertised them, and we'll ensure that we get to the competent ethical leaders that the SABC deserves. The other matter that was asked is the allocation of this $3.2 billion. I think when you look at the number, it looks very big. I think people need to understand that about $2 billion of that is going to go to the payment of our creditors. You also have another $1.2 billion that would then need to go to investing in local content, and the rest would be on the maintenance, upgrading of the infrastructure. You may have seen also in the media that our buildings are really dilapidated and they are posing a health and safety risk to our employees. So that's what the money is going to be used for. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question around which I omitted to respond to earlier, around timelines pertaining to skills audit. There's two parts to it. The first is that it's going to take us up to 3 months to go through an assessment of the skills that are possessed by our employees. That's the first part. The second is we then have to address the gap between what we have in terms of skills vis-a-vis what we should have, and that's going to take us anything between 3 and 18 months. Then there was a question which I believe the chairperson has answered. I'm just going to add on to what the chairperson has said on what is our proactive plan in order to prevent consequence management. There's four things that we're pursuing currently. The first one is subsequent to the Sexual Harassment Commission's report, which was delivered in October, November last year, we then embarked upon a number of interventions within the organization in order to be able to address the scourge of sexual harassment. So we've gone on roadshows to reconscientize our employees around this issue. We've also been very active on our intranet. We've also had quite a number of posters across the whole organization on this matter, but we've also used quite effectively the whole question of industrial theater across the organization, purely on this sexual harassment matter. The second issue, which is quite critical for the SABC, is that we are going out on a values drive, and all that we are doing here is with a view to transforming the culture of the SABC. But we are keen to focus mainly on the values which all our employees have to abide by. And of course, with those values, we have to make sure that, and we're doing that, that employees understand what behaviors they ought to have in order for us to realize those values. And long term, and we know that culture is not something that you can transform, you know, in a few months. It takes many years to do so. But first of all, we are focusing on looking at our values and the respective behaviors. Chair has also raised the question of policies. It's important that all our employees understand our policies, and we've begun a process of doing so. And finally, we keep harping on the question of implementation of performance management. It is critical for the organization for all employees to understand what their respective roles are. And in this, it's important that each and every line manager engages in what we call courageous conversations with each and every employee on poor performance or otherwise. And we think that short term, if we do these things and we do them successfully, it should help us in terms of some kind of proactive measures that we're taking in order to prevent consequence management. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, maybe the last thing, Honorable Kumbu, regarding the media leaks. There's a trend at the SABC whereby when employees are going through a DC and in the implementation of consequence management, they release the information to the journalist. Unfortunately, there is an implication. I mean, we rely on advertisers for revenue, and that negative publicity unfortunately scares our advertisers because they want to trust the brand. That is the bottom. But what we did was, we at a board level, we appealed to our fellow board members if they are part of the people who are unlawfully releasing the information to the unnamed sources. They should stop doing that. Equally, we entrusted the GCEO to address his group ESCO to say, this is what these leaks are doing to the reputation and the integrity of the organization. The third thing that we also did, which we think will help us, we revived the news and editorial committee. And part of the specific mandate to be given to that committee is to come up with a plan to advise the board as to what needs to happen to this kind of situation, because the news and editorial committee was combined with PPS and PPS previously, but we decided to rescind that decision. And I think one of the things that we said the GCEO should do is to embark on stakeholder engagement in order to inform the public about developments within the SABC and not to rely solely on what they read from the newspapers. Thank you, Chair.
If there are no additions, I take it that Honorable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, just one small question with your indulgence. Gentlemen, you mentioned approaching ICASA for help when it came to the high costs of sporting rights and sporting properties, unless I heard that incorrectly. If you are, how do you see ICASA intervening in this process to assist the SABC, if at all? Thank you, Chief.
Maybe just as
you
respond to that, honourable member that you represent, again, a point on the budget that was raised in terms of the guarantees that you've asked for, whether that helps you to implement fully your turnaround strategy and not coming back. I think specific question. So if you can also respond to that.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with that one. The original amount that was put on the table was 6.8 billion. And obviously it now has come to 3.2 billion. However, we believe that in the short term this will help us because we've seen already positive green shoots in terms of what we've been able to do in the past 12 months. So there was the other question the Honourable Member asked, and I know that when I responded he was not here. You had asked about the cost of the rugby rights. For television, it's standing at $28 million, and for radio it's about $60,000, and if you factor in the production cost, it comes to about 900,000, which we could not afford as the SABC. Then there was another question you asked, whether we own the spectrum. We do have a license right to use the spectrum through ICASA, but we don't own it. On the question that you've asked, ICASA, remember, we would want to ensure that the regulations governing sports rights are reviewed, and the body that manages that would be ICASA. So we've submitted our views as the SAPC early in the year, and the focus there is on transparency, the need to unbundle those rights, but also to help us as the public broadcaster to ensure that we can fulfill our mandate without incurring all of these exorbitant costs. So it's a very comprehensive document that we've submitted that will help the public broadcaster going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe, thank you, Chairperson. My last comment, I mean, we must give you with a sense of good news. The process of shortlisting for the COO is complete, so in no time we'll be finalizing that. Cynthia is acting COO, but we have been able to engage the people and went to the market, so that should be announced in the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sure you don't want to start another ad hoc comment on that question. May I then say that I think we have had responses. We should really thank you for making the presentation. I think we're leaving the session quite clear that, yes, there may have been issues in the past, those have been dealt with, but there is a turnaround strategy in place. I think what needs to happen from our side, part of our oversight, is to monitor the implementation of those and hold you accountable in that regard. But we also picked up that there are other matters that may affect you, but they are resting somewhere else. And that will be the engagement the committee should have, for example, CENTEC and ICASA, where that issue needs to be looked at. So when we meet them, these are the issues we will be able to highlight, because it is in our interest that SABC should stay strong as a national broadcaster and perform its mandate. And I'm sure from comments made, you'll understand, we support the board to stay as a board that can deliver on the mandate that has been given. And not to support Parliament PSS. With that, I think we are clear. Thanks for making time and your leadership. I'm told that lunch or whatever is called tea or whatever is available after. Just to refresh you, so that when you appoint a COO, You don't take that. However, after members of the committee,